Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It is time for the Wide Nine. College football winding down. Well, the bowl season's revving up, but the NFL enters its final month, and we got a lot to talk about, and we will do it with our host, our Wide Nine host, Thomas Milliken III. Gov, what do you got for us?
I am not the third. I am not the second. I'm an original.
Are you going to put senior? Are you Thomas Milliken Sr.?
No, unless I have that fourth child.
That you're not aware of.
Sony better not have a bat mitzvah.
Yeah.
All today, right. By the way, is the anniversary of my bar mitzvah.
Really? Oh, happy bar mitzvah.
December 4th, 1971.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
And congratulations.
Thank you.
All right. College football. I know the bowl games get a bad rap. It seems like if you're not in a playoff now, it doesn't matter. I don't agree with that. But anyways, Michigan drew Florida in the Peach Bowl. Michigan State drew Oregon in the Red Box Bowl. Give me one thing you want to see from both the Wolverines and Spartans in their bowl games.
Beyond winning, I desperately want to see offensive creativity. I want to see the playbook opened up. I want to see the old Lloyd Carr. Wow, we could have been doing this all year. I know that's annoying to Michigan fans and probably annoying to Michigan State fans, but that is what I most want to see. If they just come out with a traditional approach and hand the ball off to Higdon first down over and over again, same with Michigan State, I will be frustrated.
Jamie, I wrote two words on my little Wide Nine sheet, and you stole them. Offensive creativity, exactly. And I want to see, now obviously Michigan State can't use Felton Davis, he's out for the year, but I want to see Cody White and Cam Chambers and Darryl Stewart. I want to see them use their athletic ability. I want to see DPJ and all the and Tariq Black actually do something. Creativity, yes, some cool stuff.
All right, all good answers. College Football Playoff Committee appears to have gotten it right, selecting Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame, and Oklahoma. If the playoff was expanded to 8 teams, who should be the other 4 teams selected?
I think this one's pretty easy. Georgia, Ohio State, Central Florida, and Michigan. That's it.
So you're just going right down the line.
Yep. Yeah, pretty much.
Predictable, Stoney.
I'm not going to put Washington State in there. I'm certainly not going to put LSU in there with 3 losses.
Well, I'm going to say Georgia, obviously, Ohio State, obviously, Central Florida, because they were undefeated, and I'm going with the Pac-12 champion Washington Huskies. So that way you have the conference champions represented, you have the best at-large teams represented in Georgia and Ohio State, and yeah, I'm throwing a bone to UCF for going undefeated, and I'm throwing a bone to UCF for going undefeated last year, too.
I'm throwing a bone to Michigan instead of UCF. I would have Jamie's then. Michigan instead of Central Florida. They're a joke and a gimmick. And they don't even have their starting quarterback.
They never have allowed 62 points in a rivalry game. I looked it up.
Thank you. Kirby Smart elected to try a fake punt with just 3 minutes left in the Georgia-Alabama game. Is this call one of the worst calls by a head coach in modern college football history? Because I think it is. It was terrible.
I think it is, too. But see, this is the problem with how we judge bold decisions. If it had worked, okay, you would be licking.
No, I wouldn't.
Oh, yes, you would.
No, I wouldn't.
Yes, you would.
I'm a field position guy late in games. I'm on record saying that in the Texas-USC famous game. Pete Carroll should have punted. I've always said that.
Yeah, they lost. USC lost.
They should have punted, and he would have had to go 90 yards, and he probably wouldn't have done it because of time.
I know.
Just like Jalen Hurts was. If Tua was in, I get it.
But when Sean Payton had his famous onside kick in the Super Bowl, everyone's like, oh, because it worked. If he had pulled a Sam Martin and kicked the ball 4 yards, nobody would be saying that. They'd be shredding Sean Payton. He wouldn't have won the Super Bowl, and he wouldn't be a coach of the Saints anymore. That's the problem with how we judge these calls.
I couldn't think of any except one, and the one didn't work, and it was lauded as a good one, but I thought it was stupid at the time. I give him credit for using his balls, but Tom Osborne cost Nebraska a national championship when he went for 2 and went for the win. If they would have kicked the extra point, game would have been tied. There was no overtime. Nebraska would have been the national championship. So that was a stupid call.
What year was that,
Stone? 1984.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a solid one. I mean, there's people who believe that you don't play for ties, you know? People that, you know, that's what he did. But I think this punt, man,
that was awful. Kirby dumb.
Yeah, exactly. Matt Patricia has already lost more games than Jim Caldwell did in the last two seasons, respectively. What is the single biggest reason why Patricia has failed in his first season?
Easy. Your turn.
That's okay. It's not easy because there's so many things you can pick, but I'm going to say almost our answer to the bowl question, a dull offense that can't get started until it's too late. That's simple.
Well, along those lines, that's why I think it's easy. His most important player, his best player, his highest paid player is having his worst season. Now, is that on Stafford or is that on Patricia/Jim Bob Cooter? The answer is probably all the above. But, you know, I mean, Jim Caldwell, when he was hired here, said, I see what Matthew Stafford's flaws are and I can fix them. And Matthew Stafford actually had some pretty good years under Jim Caldwell. Not his most prolific years, but decent years. I mean, when you have your worst year under a brand new head coach, that reflects poorly on the head coach.
I think it was the evening show last night that I heard they were saying that Caldwell made Stafford a winner. And he did win winning seasons 3 out of the 4 years.
True.
So might have masked his deficiencies better than anybody. All right, the Lions may not have their franchise quarterback. The offensive line may need further immediate investment, which is just absolutely ridiculous. Are you in doomsday mode with the Lions, meaning they may need 3+ years or be 3+ years off in terms of even competing in their own division?
No, I'm not. I mean,
what a depressing issue.
I mean, obviously history would indicate they're not going to win the division championship anytime soon. But the Bears were in equally dire straits a couple years ago. Look, Matt Patricia is going to get year two, and I'm very curious to see how he responds in year two. I do believe that he is treating this team as a rebuild, even though it's year three of Bob Quinn. So I would like to see what Patricia has up his sleeve.
But just make sure you understand the issue here that I'm sort of asking. They may not have their franchise quarterback. They have all this money gobbled up in him. They may not have their offensive line right, and
they've got
a bunch of money gobbled. So you're going to go back and correct those stupid issues? You're never going to grow and get better.
Well, I think
I agree.
Because I don't think it's doomsday, but it's going to be tough because although Green Bay, I don't new coach, whatever. I don't think they're going to be that good. Chicago, young, that's going to be a team. And Minnesota, I'm still not sold on Kirk Cousins. They are better than the Lions. They can get lucky and get a couple of guys and maybe turn it around just like other teams did. But it doesn't look good.
All right. Kansas City released Kareem Hunt when video surfaced of him hitting and kicking a woman. Can Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs survive this loss? Are they still the AFC favorite?
They can survive the loss, but I will not call them the AFC favorite anymore. I mean, look at the way New England is playing defense right now. I still think the Patriots are the favorite in the AFC. And by the way, it's kind of interesting that the Patriots are playing much better defense this year than they did under their previous defensive coordinator.
If I had to bet on teams to win the AFC, the Chiefs would not be my pick anymore. And a lot of it does have to do with Hunt and the distractions that lie therein. A lot of it has to do with their defense, which really has been a weakness of this team all year long. I mean, they gave up a lot of points to the Raiders, and Kareem Hunt had nothing to do with that on Sunday. New England, Pittsburgh, LA, the Chargers, and the Houston Texans. Sorry. I mean, they've won 9 games in a row. Those are all teams I would pick ahead of the Chiefs right now.
I'm not a Texans guy and not a Bill O'Brien guy, and I'm still not a full believer in Deshaun Watson, but they're running the ball. They're playing good defense. They are very sneaky, and it's just hard to have faith in them because of their track record in the playoffs. I do think this is going to hurt the Chiefs long term. Their ability to not be balanced in the postseason, that's going to bite you in some cold weather game. And look out for those L.A. Chargers, man. What a huge win Sunday night.
And Kansas City is a cold weather city in January.
Yes, exactly. We'll likely have two of the best running backs on the market this season. We already talked about Kareem Hunt, and we know he's going to be suspended to some capacity. Also, Le'Veon Bell. Which teams are the best fit for each running back?
Wow. It's your turn, Jamie.
I wrote down the following teams for Bell just because he's obviously a bit of a prima donna risk, but he's not a PR risk like Hunt is. Indianapolis, Miami, maybe San Francisco. You know, teams with, decent teams but are lacking that one shoe running back. As for Kareem Hunt, the Pittsburgh Steelers, I'm trying to think of a community that might accept him, a team that might be able to mold him. I know everyone's going to say the Patriots because that's what they do. They take the lost causes, but I can't see the Pats going for it.
I think for the Kareem Hunt, the Philadelphia Eagles, I mean, they've taken chances with Michael Vick and people like that. They've done that before. I think Le'Veon Bell might look good in Philly, too. But for Le'Veon Bell, I'll say the Green Bay Packers. He would be perfect with Aaron Rodgers and their new
Seems
coach.
Seems like they're committed to Jones now, though.
Yeah, Jones is pretty good.
That's true.
You know, and if they're going to spend some money, it might be on wide receiver.
Or so, defense.
All right, speaking of, you brought up Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers turned 35 on Sunday, and his birthday present was his coach getting canned. Following the loss with McCarthy gone, considering the age of Rodgers, he's their franchise quarterback. He basically got a five-year window. Who should the Packers hire to win right now?
Josh McDaniels. You put him with Aaron Rodgers.
Why would he leave? He wasn't...
Because he doesn't want to, maybe he doesn't want to be the offensive coordinator anymore. Maybe maybe he goes and sees, oh, my God, I have Aaron Rodgers. He had a chance with Andrew Luck, but he wasn't sure Andrew Luck was healthy.
I don't know if he's leaving now, man, after what happened last year.
I don't know if he's leaving either, number one. And number two, look at Matt Patricia. This whole Patriot assistant thing is still seems to be lacking any sort of fire. I will wait. If I'm the Packers, I mean, granted, they got a head start here, but I'm going to wait and see what happens on Black Monday after all the coaches get fired. I think John Harbaugh would be a very intriguing option. I know he's not an offensive guru, but I think the guy is a damn good head coach.
I know this is not going to happen, but I always believe in placing a phone call and just seeing if somebody's interested. If I'm the Packers, I make a phone call to Nick Saban because you've got the franchise quarterback. He may still just have it, his desire to win in the NFL. Yeah. What a perfect opportunity.
Well, and under the phone call corollary, Bill Parcells.
Oh, my. Wow. Yeah.
Make the call.
Yeah.
Make every call.
All right. The Chargers benefited from scoring their first touchdown Sunday night despite committing an obvious false start. And if you guys didn't see this, it was terrible. Like, the whole stadium knew the guy jumped. Later in the game, they returned a punt for a touchdown despite committing an obvious block in the back. Again, as obvious as it gets. Would you support the NFL allowing coaches to get one challenge to review penalties? If they get that review correct, then they get to retain it and use it again.
100% I support this rule, and I love how you put in there, you get to do it once, and if you get it right, you get to use it again, but if you get it wrong, you can't. So that way, it's not going every single thing. And the other thing I would do as part of that is there would be a central command in New York with one referee watching every single game, enough of this tiny little screen or Microsoft ThinkPad or whatever the hell they do. The referee chimes them and says, you got it wrong. It was a false start. Do it over again. It would help with the delay as well.
I agree. I mean, there's no reason not to do it. And especially when you look at like what the NBA does, they review a lot of stuff and they go to caucus in the center and they're looking at big screen television. That's a great point, Jamie. Yes. I mean, especially when it's egregious. Now, maybe like on pass interferences, you don't do it. Some real judgment calls. But what if it's obvious? You should be able to do
these two calls were awful, and I've been a Chargers honk all year.
Oh, the block in the back was absurd.
Well, the false start, Stoney, did you see it?
Yeah,
it
that was bad too.
You take that away, that was really the only Chargers offense that half. The Steelers, and I know everything changes and stuff to a degree, but it could have been 23-0 Steelers at the half. I don't think the Chargers are winning if they don't get that lucky break. Yeah. You know, like, look, bad calls are part of the game, and the Chargers should benefit from it.
That's the Wide 9. Jamie and Stoney, 97.1 The Ticket.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.